Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Trent. I'm here with Alan, and we're deep into the woods of 2021, Alan. I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but we're here, and so we're excited to encourage you guys and to help you to be able to endure during 2021. So, Alan, tell us what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, you know, Trent, we're going to talk a little bit about having better relationships in the church and really in all your relationships, but we wanted to focus in more on the church today. But, Trent, have you ever been burned in ministry where you kind of thought someone was going to be there in your corner and then you found out they weren't?
Oh, yeah, several times. And it hurts every time. You know, you'd think we'd learn, but no, it hurts every time.
And so because of that, you know, I think we have a tendency in ministry, once you've been burned, you kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. You kind of don't want to let people in. And yet I think that it's our responsibility and our job to kind of walk back into the fire once again. And so Right. How do we do that? How do we actually build relationships in the church and relationships that last? And, you know, nothing we're going to talk about today is rocket science, really. It's just maybe more of those kind of gentle reminders that we need every now and then.
Yeah, and I wanted to point back, we had done some previous episodes a long time ago that talked about, you know, that you and I heard in seminary from some people that, hey, you know, you don't want to get too close to people, and it's horrible advice, just horrible advice. And so we do want to get close to people. We want to have good relationships. And sometimes it takes a lot of effort on our part, more than we expect it to, especially if you're new in ministry. You may not understand that you will get burned sometimes, and that's part of humanity. We live in a fallen world, and broken people do broken things. So,
yeah, that's absolutely correct. So, you know, what do we do? I mean, you know, relationships are at the center of ministry. You know, I think, I really think if you're a pastor and your whole viewpoint of ministry is to lock yourself in a room and just prepare a good sermon every week, you're really missing the call of ministry.
I think so too.
And so relationships really are at the core of who we are and what we do. So why don't we jump into them? So we've been doing five things all month long in January here. So we've got five ways to have better communication. So
yeah.
What do you say? Why don't we jump into
them? Sounds good. And so the first one here is to develop better listening skills.
What was that?
I know you weren't listening.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. So you know, most people, when they're involved in a conversation, they're really already thinking about their response when somebody else is talking. And so we don't catch most of what's being said.
Yeah, you know, years and years ago, the best thing I was ever given, and I don't always do it, but it's something that Rochelle and I practice for every now and then, is to say back, what I hear you saying is.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we do that a lot with couples, Alan. When we're doing premarital counseling or marriage counseling, we'll have them do what we call knee-to-knee time. And then one person has the floor. They get to speak first. And the other person has, I hear you saying this, like you said, is this correct? And they can either, you know, change things, or they can say, yes, that's right. You know, and you go back and
forth. Right. Yeah, but you know, I think everyone wants to be heard. I think people want to know. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things that you've talked about too in conflict resolution is the first step really is to make sure you have heard the person. Mm-hmm. And that you've heard what their issue is, because sometimes we allow conflict to become something that person never really wanted it to be either. They're just voicing a frustration or a complaint or, you know, having a bad day.
Right.
And you know, and then all of a sudden, because we don't hear what's going on inside them, we've blown it out of proportion.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I learned a long time ago is that most conflict goes away when someone feels that they've been heard. And so just that simple thing will do away with a lot of conflict that you may have.
Yeah, and if you don't have conflict, you're going to have better relationships.
Yay.
I mean, you're always going to have some levels of conflict.
That's right.
But definitely, we want to practice better listening skills. Mm-hmm. And that really is probably always number one in any communication seminar or anything like that. Just
right.
Be a better you know, they call it active listening. I think that's to give all of us who tend to be, you know, thinking ahead, that the idea that listening is actually something you are engaged in. But
right.
Anyway, let's move on to the second one because I'm a terrible listener. All right. So let's, the second one is just to practice audience appropriate vulnerability. That's a mouthful.
It is. It's like you use too many big words there. I can't do that. So when you say that, let me ask you, when to practice audience appropriate vulnerability. I see I was able to say it. That's really good. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, you know, I think that we kind of go to one of two extremes in ministry, right? That we either hide all the stuff about us, mm-hmm. you know, we don't want people to know any of our weaknesses. We try to pretend like we don't have weaknesses. And then, you know, that fall gets really big when you do that, right? But I've also seen that other side. I've also seen people get up in front of the church and share stuff with the entire church that, you know, they really don't need to hear.
Right.
You know, and I think that knowing your audience, you know, what you could say to your accountability group is not the exact same things you need to get up and announce before, you know,
the whole church.
And I think to know your audience and to know mm-hmm. that, but having better relationships knows, okay, who can I say what to, mm-hmm. you know, and then you also have to know in your church who are the people who just can't keep stuff to themselves. They may be good people,
right.
but they're kind of in that gossip change. And so you don't want to be vulnerable mm-hmm. to those people. And so I think it's knowing the who's, but being willing to share as much as you can share wherever you can share about your own weaknesses, I think, is essential.
Yeah, and a big part of this, I think, Alan, and you and I have both been at our churches in our positions for a long time. We've been in ministry for a long time. And we call this the Enduring Churches podcast because we want you to endure. And the longer that you're at a position, the more you'll understand what Alan was just talking about, knowing who you can communicate and be vulnerable to. And so the audience appropriate part of that phrase is, okay, just as Alan said, there are some groups that I can be more vulnerable to. And there are sometimes, even in a sermon, in front, you know, as part of a sermon,
right. yeah.
that you're going to be opening yourself up and talking about your mistakes to help to get a point across.
Yes, and I encourage that. I mean, talk mm-hmm. about, I think you should talk about your weaknesses. You know, if you struggle in an area, you know, it's okay to say that. I mean, I just admitted a moment ago that I struggle at times with being a good listener. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if my wife was on here, she'd go, yeah, no doubt about that. So, you know, but I think we should have a sense of, if you're self-aware enough to know enough about your weaknesses to acknowledge your weaknesses, mm-hmm. I mean, that puts people at ease around you. They don't have to put on, you know, any false pretenses mm-hmm. or anything either, you know? And so I just think that's really, really a big deal. And I don't think we talk enough in ministry about vulnerability. I don't know why and I can't blame that on seminary professors or anything. I just think that it's kind of human nature that we don't want to let people see our weakness, thinking that they'll pick on it or expose it or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. We have a hard time opening ourselves up and trusting, honestly. And if you have been burned in ministry, which probably everybody who's listening to this has, it is hard to go back to the well. It's hard to open yourself up again.
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of leads into the third one, Trent, because vulnerability, you know, is important, but sincerity is just as important. So let sincerity mm-hmm. rule the day. You know, don't be a phony. You know, Trent, when I first went to Wayland, there was a guy who'd come around and he'd go, "I hope you have a great day." And then he'd look, and I really mean that. And by the time he finished that, you're like, I don't think he means that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just came across really, really, really badly and very insincere. And, you know, if you want to have strong relationships in the church, do not be a phony. Mm-hmm. Do not be, you know, People pick that out, oh, yeah. Especially the younger they are in your church, the more they're going to see through your lack of sincerity.
Yeah, I agree, Alan. They do, and you're right. The little ones, boy, they know, and they'll stay away from you if they think that you're phony. And I think the adults will too. They'll stay away from you. They won't open themselves up to trust you if they don't think that they can trust you. And I tell you, it only takes just a brief second to lose trust in ministry, in any relationship, and it takes forever to gain it back.
Yeah. Yeah, trust is a foundation of any relationships. Mm-hmm. I remember when Rochelle and I were still kind of newly married, we were working with some students at our church, and so they invited us to go to the their ropes course, and they were doing an activity on trust, and it was two poles shaped in a V, and you start with your hands on each other's shoulders, and you see how far down the V you can go, and you're getting pretty far apart, where you literally it's the distance is bigger than both of you, and if you have trust issues, you will not lean into your partner. And guess who had the trust issues? I'm resisting leaning against her. I'm okay with her leaning against me, but I didn't want to have to lean into her. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot about trust, and really trust and sincerity go hand in hand. It's that same thing. God, do you still love me even though I mess up a lot? Mm-hmm. Do you still love me? And that trust in God and that sincerity in our faith, and that it is a struggle, just like Paul said, I don't know why I keep doing the things I don't want to do. That to me, that's one of the most sincere places in all of the Bible, mm-hmm. where Paul just Paul, super Christian, acknowledges his own struggle. And I love that. Let sincerity just rule the day.
Right. Well, and I just lost my thought. I'm having a senior moment. It just went away. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, let's try it again. We can have some fun, right?
Yeah,
right,
folks? Absolutely.
All right. So let sincerity rule the day.
Yeah, I still don't have it. It's gone.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
It happens to us.
We do want to
senior moments.
Oh, I just remembered. I just remembered you said senior moment. But anyway, so you're talking about the ropes course deal. And it got me to thinking that, really as pastors, we struggle to trust other people, but we expect them to trust us. We expect them to lean into us when we have a hard time, leaning back. And I don't know exactly why that is. Part of it's, humanity. But I think in the position, it does magnify that.
Well, and I think that, Trent, that like made the perfect segue. Yeah, into that fourth one, because that's to share the spotlight. And I think maybe that's a little bit about what you're talking about here, is this idea that we kind of want to have the reins. Mm-hmm. We don't want to share it, because let's be honest, we've come through a year of politics and all this and that, and with all that's gone on with pandemic and everything, I will say one observation that people who've never made the observation have noticed is once people get a certain amount of power, they don't want to give it up. And let's be honest, in our role, we have a little bit of influence. We have a little bit of power leverage, and it can be really hard to give up. Mm-hmm. And yet, the teaching of Jesus says you give up to go up, and you don't need to go that direction. And so I think if you're going to have good relationships in the church, you can't really have a high and mighty position of yourself and an idea of who you are and what you're doing. And I think the best thing you can do is put the spotlight on other people.
Well, and I've been thinking about this quite a bit, because I've been thinking about, what are my staff's love languages? I want to be able to encourage them. And so especially if their love language is words of affirmation, then it's really important to share the spotlight with, my staff, and say in front of everyone, hey, I really appreciate this person. To be able to say in front of the entire church, and maybe it's not a staff member, maybe it's a volunteer that you have just blown away by, make a big deal. And so I just read something this morning that your church becomes what you celebrate. And so you know, this is a big deal for people to share. You don't have to be the guy who's seen by everybody. Your church has got to be more than you. It's got to be other people too.
Yeah, and just put the light on someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, let them share their story, brag on someone else. You know, if someone did something behind the scenes, you know, let that stand out. Do something to celebrate people. That's just a big deal. And then, you know, Trent, what's the number one way to really, when someone comes to you and they have a problem or an issue, what's the best way to bond with them?
Well, it's just spending that time in prayer, and not just, I don't think, saying that I will pray for you, but ask to pray with them now. You know, I think that's a big deal to actually take time to pray with that person at that time.
Yeah, you know, I had someone come in after my message this past Sunday and just saying, you know, I heard what you were saying, and it's really convicted me, and it involved a family issue, and I was moved by their story. You know, and he said, well, thanks, and he started to walk out. I said, you can't leave yet. We need to pray. Mm. And you know, that's just such a special time.
Oh yeah.
You know, when you get to pray with someone, you've actually gone into really the most intimate thing we can do with another person, and that's to take them together into the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we forget what prayer really is, but we are going into His very presence, and man, what a powerful experience when we really take that seriously.
Oh yeah, that is, it's super powerful, and it's encouraging to them to know that you care enough to take the time. You know, talking about going back to that being a phony, that's one area. If you say, well, I'll pray for you. No, that to be real is to, let's pray together. Let's do this together. And what I was going to say too, I love how the Holy Spirit works, that, you know, I don't know about you, Alan, but I've been preaching sometime and somebody will come up to me afterwards and they'll say something and you're like, man, I'm pretty sure I didn't say that, but the Holy Spirit said to them, you know, and
absolutely.
I love how that works.
Yeah. That is like that's one of those moments where you say, yeah, well, I'm glad God was translating,
yes,
on my
exactly.
behalf.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the best times, mm-hmm. really.
Well, we want to encourage you to put together and to continue to grow good relationships in your ministry position. That's why we're talking about this today. That's why we do what we do. Alan and I have been doing ministry just like you are, for a long time, and we recognize there are some definite pitfalls and some things that'll knock the slats out from under you.
Yeah, so remember these things, that at least work on those relationships this year. So develop better listening skills, practice audience appropriate vulnerability. I didn't say that 10 times real fast. Let sincerity rule your day, share the spotlight, and ask to pray with people. And I think that will put you on a road to better relationships. So Trent, if someone has some questions or wanted to reach out to us, how could they get in touch with us?
We would love to hear from you. There are several things. We'd love to hear if you have topics that you'd like for us to talk about. That would be really helpful to us. But you can always contact us through our Facebook page at Enduring Churches, or you can go to enduringchurches.com. And you can also email Alan at enduringchurches.consulting and Trent at enduringchurches.consulting. So we'd love to hear from you, because we want to not only talk at you, but we want to walk with you.
That's right. And so we want to thank you for being a part of the Enduring Churches podcast. Do a couple things for us. Share this with someone else if you found it helpful. Even if you didn't find it helpful, share it with someone else who will find it helpful. And like us on our Facebook page, like us on our YouTube channel. But make sure you try to help spread the word that the Enduring Churches podcast is here to help you and your church endure. Well, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to catching you on our next episode.